Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. As we've been going through this chapter, we've been looking at God's indictment and his judgments against the false prophets in verses 17 through the end of the chapter, dealing with the same thing concerning the false prophetesses. But we've been in the last couple of weeks looking at the fact that there's a storm coming, and it's a storm of God's making, bringing his wrath, bringing his wrath upon the wall with the that has been whitewashed instead of cemented together and filled in properly. It's been whitewashed with lies and false promises. So the storm is coming, and that brings us tonight's portion, which will be concerning the fact that these false prophets shall face the storm. The storm is upon them. The storm's going to get them. It's going to take care of their wall, and it's going to take care of them as well. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here to get night in thy assembly. Thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that we have your word that we can look into. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would bless us as we look into your word, as we think upon it for a few moments. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity, we have the desire to want to sing songs of praise and thanksgiving unto you for so great a salvation which you have provided for your people. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you're blessed tonight. Bless those with those that are not here. Bless with those that we've been praying for concerning them having COVID. We just pray, Lord, your will might be done in their lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's read verses 13 through verse 16 tonight. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower of mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundations thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. So these false prophets, just in case they might think that the storm was only going to affect the wall which they had built and daubed with untempered mortar, find out now that they're not going to escape the storm either. The storm is going to consume them and those that have daubed it with untempered mortar. You see, the people had built a life. They had built a life of idolatry, and false prophets had spread over over it with whitewash, untempered mortar. The word there means whitewash. That is, with their false promises and their lies. And they, as well as the people are going to suffer judgment. We saw that in chapter 12. And we may look at a few verses there in chapter 12 again this evening. But not only the people, but the false prophets also will be destroyed. He is going to break down the wall. He's going to break it down. And he will destroy the false prophets. In fact, let's look at chapter 12. And let's look at verses 19 and 20 over there. It says, "And say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and of the land of Israel, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. And the cities that are inhabited shall be laid waste, and the land shall be desolate, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God." Now look at verses 25 through 20, the end of the chapter. "For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and perform it, saith the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off." You see, this is the people saying it. Over in chapter 13, we find out the prophets, the false prophets, have picked up that saying and prophesied that saying, those lies that they had were speaking. "Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God." Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 25. In verse 9. "Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolation. The Lord God said he's going to do it. He said it in the days of Jeremiah, and now he's saying it again in the days of Ezekiel. Do they get the message? Do they get the message? Do we get the message? Do we get the message? Those that have, so to speak, grown up in church, maybe 50 years, 60 years, what have you heard all your life? Even if it's only 25 years or 30 years, what have you heard all your life? Are you still hearing it today? Well, God's word is just as true today as it was then. God's word was just as true in the days of Jeremiah as it is in the days of Ezekiel. In fact, we're going to look at have looked at Isaiah in the past, and it was just as true in the days of Isaiah as it was in the days of Ezekiel. He's telling them he will make sure that they know that he and he alone is Jehovah, is the Lord. That he and he alone is the true and the living God. Was that not to be the case with Israel? Were they not to know that? Was they not to know that from their beginning? Turn with me back to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus in chapter 6. And this is while they're yet in Egypt. But God is getting ready to bring them up out of Egypt here. And notice what is said here in verse 7 of the 6th chapter. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. He told Israel that they are going to know when he moves, when he works in his mighty power and his mighty ways to deliver and through all the plagues that he was going to bring upon the Egyptians and deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, even the crossing of the Red Sea, which they had no way of foreseeing, but God knew the way in which he was going to take them. That they would know that he was Jehovah, God. Not only that, in the days of Joshua, the people early on didn't get it. They come to Kadesh Barnea. They're supposed to go into the land. They're supposed to take the land and possess the land. But they were fearful. They did not realize, they did not believe God, that he was the Lord God, that he was Jehovah God. And because of that disobedience, because of that unbelief, all those ages 20 and over, above the age of 20, died in the wilderness. Died in the wilderness. Now, a new general comes on the scene, Joshua by name. And he's getting ready to go in the land and to fight the battles, win the victory, and possess, take possession of the land. And God tells them again that he is going to give them into their hand, and they shall know that he is the Lord God, that he is Jehovah God. Well, we saw it in their birth and bringing them out of Egypt. They were to see it in taking and possessing the land. But now we get to the book of Ezekiel. And remember some time ago in the book of Ezekiel, when we come across the phrase, "And they shall know that I am the Lord God." How many times? And you don't have to remember the exact number, but just give me an idea. How many times is it said in the book of Ezekiel, "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God"? Times, 40 times, 50 times, 60 times, at least 63 times is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, "And they shall know that I'm the Lord." But this is in judgment. But not only in judgment, because the latter four chapters of the book of Ezekiel is talking about a time of restoration and a time of the millennial reign and the temple being built and Jerusalem being restored. But the purpose is that they might know that He is the Lord God, that He alone is Jehovah, the true existing God, the ever-living God. He is their God. His holy wrath is against them, is going to be against them. And these verses that we read, verses 13 through 16, tells us that his wrath shall be accomplished. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It shall be accomplished. Look at verse 15. "Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that have daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God." You see, his wrath shall be accomplished. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. And look with me at chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And look at verse 17. "Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet," to the weigh, to the weighing, "and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place." This is in the days of Isaiah prophesied. And the judgment is prophesied is to come upon them. And it says that He, the Lord God, is going to be the one who does the measuring. It's going to be according to His judgment. And it's going to be according to His way, not according to the false prophets, not according to the people that are promoting lies and believing lies, but it's going to be according to the Lord God. Turn with me to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations in chapter 2. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 8. "The Lord hath purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He hath stretched out a line, he hath not withdrawn his hand from destroying. Therefore he made the rampart and the wall to lament. They languished together. You see, it's all of God's choosing. It's all of God's purposing. And he's the one that's got the line. He's the one, in the book of Amos, he's the one with the plumb line. He's the one that is doing the measuring. He's the one that is doing the weighing, said Isaiah. He is the Lord God. All of man's ideas and all man's lies and false promises are going to pale, because it's going to be of the Lord's purpose. It's going to be of the Lord's line, of his weighing, of his measuring. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 7. Again, we're going to see that it's of the Lord's doings. It's of his purpose. It's of his measuring. In verse 15 of the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, he says, beware of false prophets. There's a warning to us. To us who truly are saved. To those of us that have not just whitewashed the exterior, and the interior is full of rotten bones and stink. To us, he's given a warning. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see who's doing the measuring? You see whose line it is? It's the line of the Father. It's the line of God. It's the Lord God. It's his line. He has the line. He has the scales. He's doing the weighing. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? False prophets. False prophets. And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, he's got the line. He's got the scales. And he's doing the measuring. And it must be according to thus saith the Lord. Or it's not at all. It must be according to his weight. And his weight is just. His measurements are just and true and right. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 2. And continues on. The plumb line is in the hand of the Lord. The scales are in the hand of the Lord. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, just as in the days of Ezekiel, just as in the days of Jeremiah, just as in the days of Isaiah, there were false prophets among the people. even as there shall be false teachers among you. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, he said. Spoken in the days of Peter to the people scattered upon persecution is who Peter is speaking to. It's recorded in God's Word. It's preserved by God for us to have today, for instructions today. There are false prophets among us today. There may even be some in our assembly. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, their evil ways, their lies and their deceptions, their deceit. They'll be swept away with them. You see, the plumb line's in the hand of the Lord. The scales are in the hand of the Lord. The people were warned in Isaiah's day. The people were warned in Jeremiah's day. Ezekiel is now pronouncing judgment. And it's as if Ezekiel, God is having Ezekiel promote it, deliver his word. He's, because remember, back in chapter 3, he set up as a watchman to the land of Israel, to the house of Israel. He set as a watchman, that is to warn. To warn the wicked, to warn the righteous. Why? So that they might turn from their wickedness, turn from the righteous from the error of their way, repent. And Ezekiel is laden with the responsibility of delivering the warning, delivering the message of God, and if he fails to do it, and the wicked die in their sins, they shall die for their sins, but their blood will be upon the head of Ezekiel. If the righteous die in their sin, having not repented of their sin, they shall die for their sin. But their blood will be upon Ezekiel. But if Ezekiel is faithful to promote the word of the Lord, then he'll not be charged with their blood. And neither will you and I. We are given as watchmen to the world, to deliver the warning that judgment is coming. That God is the judge. He has the plumb line. He has the scales. It's according to his measure. It's according to his weighing. And we are warned. We the people. We the people are warned. Just as we read there in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. That was a warning to us to beware. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. In verse 11. How many times have you read this verse? Read this portion of Scripture. In verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise." and shall deceive many. There's a warning. There's a statement of fact, but it's a warning to us that there are going to be many false prophets, and there are many false prophets, and many shall be deceived. Turn with me to another warning, to a warning that is, well, it's given to his church. Book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. Here, Paul had gone one last time to Ephesus, and he called together the elders of the church at Ephesus. He's speaking to the pastors, the ministers of the church at Ephesus. And he tells them in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, enter in among your assembly, not sparing the flock, devouring the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. That is, even some men in your are going to rise up speaking wicked things. Things that aren't so. Things that aren't according to the Word of God. To draw away disciples after them. And they're doing that in an effort to draw away as many as they can. That was one warning that was given to the Ephesian elders, given to his church. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. This is spoken to another local assembly. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look with me here at verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, don't think it's strange, don't be amazed at that. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also, the ministers of Satan, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. There may even be some that stand among you, church, that are transformed as ministers of righteousness. Oh, they're just so good and they're wonderful. Don't you love their preaching? Don't you love the word they preach? Boy, they preach the Bible. Whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to be one of those ones that he said, they said, Lord, haven't we done all these wonderful works in your name? Haven't we prophesied in your name? Haven't we cast out devils in your name? And he's going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. We're warned. The church is warned that. Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida, is warned of that possibility. We have another one in 1 John. Well, before 1 John, turn with me 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Here, the Holy Spirit's charging the young minister Timothy. He said in verse 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his approaching and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Listen, that is the responsibility of the pastors. They're to be up there, they're to preach the word of God, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Look to yourselves. They're to look to themselves first, and then they're to stand before the people preaching the word of God, preaching the whole counsel of God's word. Here he tells Timothy to be instant in season, out of season, when it's popular, when it's not popular, when they want to stone you, when they want to run you off. Continue to preach the word. Be steadfast. Be steadfast in preaching the word. Why? Because verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You see, even in the persistence of his continuing to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, there's still going to be some that are going to turn from the word. I'm going to try to deceive many. Lastly, turn with me to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And he warns us again. Verse 1, he said, Beloved, you that are beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Listen, try the spirits. Why? Because there's many, many false prophets that are out here in the world. You say, well, how am I going to know if it's the Spirit of the Lord? If it's the right Spirit? If it's the Spirit I should find? That's why you got to be in the Word, folks. You take the Word. You read the Word. You study the Word. You listen to the Word that your pastor preaches. You take it home. You digest it. You study it. You make it yours. It's important. If you don't, you could just end up being one of those many that are swept away by the false prophets. Swept away by the false prophets. Yes, these false prophets are going to come to the end of their demise. They're going to face the wrath of a holy God. They're going to face the wrath of the Lord God. And you and I, we've been warned. We've been warned that just as there was false prophets in the days of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel's day, just as there was false prophets in the days of the apostles, Peter, John, there are false prophets that are multiplied in our day and time. And don't think that you're able to stand of your own. You'll only be able to stand as you're grounded in the Word of God. Grounded in the truth of God's Word.